All right. Good morning, everyone. And as Slimy said, if you're visiting here, a warm welcome to Hillside. I hope you've already sensed the spirit of the Lord Jesus in this place. And if you're a regular, welcome back, obviously. This morning, I'm excited about the word to bring, because I believe this word this morning is symbolic. And it has repercussions in the long term for our church here at Hillside. It's called Jesus the Cornerstone. And before I get into it, I just want to pray with you, if you will pray with me this morning, church. Father, we come to you and we give you all the thanks and praise that we are able to come freely into your house once again this morning. We want to hear from you, Lord God. We want to encounter with you. We want to be transformed by you. Lord, I just ask at this time for each of us, you would ready us to receive what you have. Lord, that this may be a work of your hands that would go to the depths of our souls. Lord God, that we would be reminded of our foundations. We would be strengthened and equipped this day. So Lord, I pray that you would bless your people as they come to hear from you. Lord, we are ready, we are waiting. Would you speak in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Church, this morning we're beginning a theme that we're going to carry all the way through the month of July that will really acknowledge, will really honor and provide insight into the 83 years that this church has been in Forestfield. 83 years. It will also be a month where we look into what our role, your role, my role, is going to be in the future of this church. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear next week from Pastor Fred. If you don't know who Pastor Fred Anderson is, I go around to other churches, I meet with other pastors, and they call him the godfather of the church in Perth. I'm not even kidding. Like, it sounds like just a cool name, but it's true. Pastor Fred, one of the most integral people in preaching the Word of God, furthering the Word of God in Western Australia, and one of our congregations still. Here, you're going to hear from him. He's going to be... Pastor Kerry's going to speak to him and interview him next week. And also thereafter, in the weeks after that, Pastor Kyla McDonald will come back on behalf of the McAllister clan, and also Pastor Richard Roy, who was senior pastor here in the mid to late 90s. He's also coming back this month. So a real acknowledgement and a real celebration of 83 years of our church. And Hillside, it's important that we understand the fabric of our history in this place in order to appreciate where God wants to take us. You see, it's important that we acknowledge the call that God gave to the founding members of this community way back in 1936. They were regular people, just like you and I. And as we look back, we're able to see just how far and wide that same God and that same call from 1936 has gone. Just how far, just how wide it has gone. And what this church has been built upon from day one. So this morning my message is entitled Jesus the Cornerstone. We've used that word during our worship already this morning. The term cornerstone, for those of you that are unaware and have been singing that word, unaware of what it means, is primarily a term from the building industry. Okay? For any of us that are unaware of its meaning, it's up on the screens here. Primarily, it means an important quality or feature on which a particular thing depends. Or you could say it is based on something of great importance in which everything else depends upon. In building terms, the cornerstone is the stone that all the other stones are made sense from. They all need to come into alignment with the cornerstone in a building. The cornerstone is of fundamental importance in any context. Its impact cannot be diminished or understated. The cornerstone is foundational, and through it, a firm foundation can be laid. In order to grow or be built upon, you will know, and particularly for you builders, you will know that you require a firm foundation. The cornerstone was referenced heavily in the prophetic writings of Isaiah many, 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 many years before Jesus was born. Let's open our Bibles and go to Isaiah 28:16 for a glimpse of that. And it says, "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken." See, it was clear that the cornerstone would be firm. The cornerstone would be safe, unshakable. And in Jesus, this building concept was made flesh. So if we jump into the New Testament and the writings of Paul, Ephesians 2:19-22, where Paul is addressing the church, the Ephesian church, and he provides a name. He provides a person who is the cornerstone. It says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." You see, this example from Paul's letter to the Ephesians names Jesus as the cornerstone, the one that everyone and everything is brought together through. Jesus, the one who bridges the former gap between Jew and Gentile, the one that brings unity, the one that brings community. Paul even goes further by saying that Jesus, the cornerstone, causes us to be God's family who are carefully joined together in him. So I want you to look around the room this morning. Have a look at each other. Don't judge each other, all right? I see you down there, front row. Yeah, I clocked you. Some of us don't do well in the mornings. Can I tell you? Just like Paul told the Ephesians, and you may have heard this. I've heard this many, many times from this platform here. But you're not here by accident today, in this place, on this day. You're here as brothers and sisters in Christ, brought together in unity. You've been brought together carefully. So can I speak to anyone that feels like you're a little bit on the outer this morning? Anyone that feels like, who am I in this place? Maybe you feel like, I haven't got no gifting, no talent to bring into the house of the Lord this morning. Can I say to you, in Him, the cornerstone, He has ordained you to be here and caused you to be part of His family. And there is a place for you here at Hillside. You see, this is the impact that the cornerstone, Jesus, can have in our lives. And I know many of you have experienced this sense of coming home in this place. I remember the first time I came into this room in the early 2000s, just as a young boy. Didn't know nothing about nothing, really. Some would say I still don't. Bit too much, Wayne Manoni, on the laughter. I remember sitting on the back wall, like literally sitting at the floor on the back wall. And I remember thinking, I don't know what it is about this place. I got no point of reference for it. I don't even really know where Forest Field is on a map. I was coming here on holiday back then. And I remember feeling like there was a sense of home here. And I know I've spoken to some of you. I've spoken to some of you recently. And you've said to me, you know, I don't know how I ended up here, but when I got here, I felt like I had come home. You see, I know maybe for some of you like me, this place, despite not knowing anyone, despite not having any history here, but walking into this place, we find family. And if you didn't know how that works, hopefully these verses show you. It's not by accident, but it's actually by divine design that Christ calls you into His family. Whether it be in this room here at Hillside with these people, or whether you're visiting from another church, God calls you deliberately by His divine design into His family. And there is a place in His family for you. See, where the cornerstone is, He transcends our backgrounds. He transcends our race. He transcends our culture. Where Jesus is, He causes us to be brought together in His name. You see, I don't know any other way that the 200 of us that are in this room this morning would all come together. I can't think of another reason that we would. I don't know, I could mention maybe the West Coast Eagles. I heard that no. I heard that no. I prayed for you last night, Fremantle Dockers. You see, even when we break it down to something where 56,000 people were at, they weren't all cheering for the same team. You are brought here by divine design, by the calling of God, from different places, different races, different cultures, different countries. And yet, the cornerstone brings us together in unity. It is incredible. We're brought together. He causes us to be brought together in His name. So we can be confident that when Jesus calls us together, He is the one building his church. So in coming here today, know that routine, nor ritual, nor law should really be our motivation. We're God's family. We're called to encourage and spur each other on. That's one of the reasons that we come together. You see, we live in a world that would tell us to take care of number one. To do the things that make you feel good. We live in a world where everything is permissible. But in God's world, we're called to love our neighbors. In God's world, we're called to live not by our feelings, but live by faith. In God's world, we're called to encourage one another in the ways of Christ. You see, Paul writes to the Hebrews in Hebrews 10:23 onwards. He says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." What a great opportunity we have when we come together as God's family to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, to encourage one another. When we gather together, it should be part of our DNA. This should be a built-in part of who we are. Surely our posture should be, you know, I'm going to church to encourage a whole bunch of people, and they're going to encourage me. Surely our posture should be, you know, I went to church, I met with my church family, and I just feel so motivated to go and make a difference. I'm going to go out. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm going to go out because I just need to love some people. Surely, if we read the Word of God, that should be our posture. You see, when we're activated, when we're motivated by Christ, when our love is in overflow mode, when we put ourselves after others, incredible things occur, and we're able to meet the needs of others in Jesus' name. I'm yet to find anyone who has not felt a sense of godly satisfaction when they meet the needs of others in Jesus' name. Church, I haven't got enough words. I haven't got enough eloquence. The world would tell us otherwise. The world would tell us to be angry about persecution. But I know something greater. I know something greater that we fight with, that we have in our hand. Here's my weapon. It is a weapon called love. It is the greatest. It is the greatest. And I know it's tough out in the big bad world. Believe it or not, I've worked out in the big bad world, in a big city. I know how hard it can be. I know there are people out there just looking out for number one. But it's so important, church, that we don't get jaded by it. We have something so much greater. The love of Jesus Christ. I wonder, Paul says, encourage one another. I wonder when the last time we did that was. I wonder when the last time you received encouragement from a brother or a sister. When was it? Can you think of the last time you spoke out a word of encouragement to a brother or a sister? It is simple, church. It is simple. A simple act of love. We can do that. It's what we're called to do. You know, I wanted to start calling people out just to encourage them, but there are so many of you in this room that I just think, wow, you do incredible things. You know, probably the most simple way of me covering so many of you is your generosity. Particularly, I don't know why, but this year in particular, church, we've had different causes, different needs come through this place. I think of Pastor Troy Marshall that came through a few months ago. You didn't know him from Jack. This guy just walked on in and he told you what he was doing in Jesus' name. How he was meeting the health needs of young children in Jesus' name. And you just gave, outrageously gave. You know, I think as Salome comes up on stage a few weeks ago, says, hey, church, I want to take a whole load of kids to a youth camp. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you have never met the kids that are going on this youth camp. Obviously, unless they're your children, okay? But many of you will not have met them. And your generosity is incredible. I can't think of another place that you'd find generous people like you. You inspire me. The way you outwork your faith in Jesus Christ. That is inspirational. Salome was freaking out about $80 spent on burgers and sausages. Are we going to make that back? She's like, have we ripped the budget in half here? What are we going to do? And $5,000 later, our God of abundance has showered his love upon these kids for this camp and probably a heap of kids for the next one too. Church, this morning, I walked out to the foyer. It's bizarre because we put two pillows in the food outreach bin. Okay, in the bottom of the bin, we put two pillows in there. The pillows had gone missing. Now, the reason that the pillows are in the bin is when you put your glass jars in there, they hit the pillows and not the hard plastic. Okay? The pillows had gone missing. We've been looking for the pillows, and I found the pillows this morning. And I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them in the bin so that when the food comes in, no glasses will break. You know where they're sitting? They're sitting pretty much on the top brim of the bin because your generosity has meant that that bin is filled to overflow yet again this morning. I just want to encourage you, the power of your good deeds. I've just picked out just some tiny ones. But I look all around this room. And I go, man, you're incredible people when you're operating in Jesus' name. Don't forget it. Don't let the world jade you. The love we have for Christ outpoured over someone else is such a powerful thing. So church, I want to illustrate a little bit further through some of our history at Hillside. In that same kind of context, people saw a need and they met it in Jesus' name. See, it's important that when we speak about church, okay, when I talk about church, I'm not talking about a building. Yeah, I'm talking about people, a group of people that have come together in Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about, okay? So remember that when I'm talking about our history. You see, our church's roots stem back from February 1936, when a small, tiny, some would say insignificant group of about 30 Christians from Wattle Grove Baptist Church decided that this little place called Forest Field would be a place that they would do some outreach to. In all the little photos that I've seen of this place called Forest Field from back in those days, there were just a lot of trees and some like dirt roads through this place. So this is Wattle Grove Church, right? This is Wattle Grove. This is where the people came from originally, okay? So they came out to Forest Field to outreach to us. And some of their motivation for that outreach was that there was this traumatic and tragic incident involving two young boys that died in a well here in Forest Field just prior. So they saw a need and they were moved by love and they went and acted upon it. You see, these Wattle Grove Baptist Church members, they would bus or come by horse, yes, by horse, to Forest Field, and they began a small Sunday school for the local kids in the Forest Field State School rooms. And then a couple of years later, they moved into a larger building at Forest Field Hall. Now, this is the hall that is on the corner of Hale and Anderson Road, just a minute or so away from here, okay? From the outset, they decided that they were going to meet together on Friday nights right here in Forest Field and pray. And you can see some of that first congregation, that first little group of people. You can see this was one of the earliest photos that we have of that kind of group meeting here. And they'd meet on a Friday night. That was their jam. And they would pray together. And their prayer meetings, they grew. And their little Sunday school, well, it grew. And soon they became such regulars in this place called Forest Field that they looked to create a building of their own to go about the purposes of God. Check it out. This was the sign. Forest Field Baptist Sunday School Hall. We need $300. Pounds. I hadn't noticed that, but it was pounds. Quid. £300. And so many years later, now in the mid-1950s, and thanks to a kind donation by a lady called Muriel Guthridge and the fine project management of a man called Jack Waller, our first building to meet in was built on Hale Road. All right, this is it. This is near completion. As you, if you think of that Wattle Grove Baptist Church shot that I showed you, they had, yeah, they were quite creative with their design. You know, they like to change it up a bit. But you can still see this building on Hale Road. It's actually just opposite the petrol station. Okay, and it's currently being used by the Uniting Church. And there's a stone, there's a little plaque, little stone on there that acknowledges Muriel Guthridge and Jack Waller. To this day, you can go and see it. And church, I got to tell you, I got so many photos from back in the day, and we're going to try and present that to you in the next few weeks somehow, just to give you even more context. But Hillside soon started to outgrow that building. And in the mid-1970s, our very own Pastor Fred Anderson, he's on the back row today. Oh! I need to up my game. Like, I got to get a tie on. Seriously, I got to get a tie on. You look sharp, Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred, led by the Holy Spirit, purchased this land that we stand on today. And before long, Woolridge Country Estate, our retirement village, was established, as was Hillside Christian College in 1977. Under Pastor Fred's leadership, Hillside experienced unprecedented growth. In this season, the people sowed and watered, and God brought a significant increase to our number. And you know, as I say, we'll be hearing from Pastor Fred next week. He's got some incredible stories from those days and what he's seen since. So since the 1980s, Hillside has grown and it's increased. And now it has this incredible footprint in the Forestfield community across our campus. And it's all down to God's people seeing the need, acting upon it with Christ as their cornerstone. You see, church, for 83 years, others have sown into God's plan for Hillside so that we may continue to praise and worship his name right here in Forestfield. The people have seen the need time and time and time again, just as you do now, and have been moved time and time again with compassion and godly action. And I wonder, church, what this generation, what we will sow in Jesus' name. What will be the outworking of our faith? What will that look like in 10 or 20 or 30 years' time? You see, we're blessed to come together in this house because of the care and the prayers of those that have gone before us. But God hasn't stopped. He's on the move. I wonder, church, what role you and I will play in furthering the kingdom of God at Hillside. But you know, I've spoken this morning with some very brief examples that show you that when Jesus is the cornerstone, when it's all about him, what can be achieved? Hillside is a great testament to what can be achieved. And it's God's divine design that you are here at Hillside. It is God's plan that you've been woven into this community. What will you sow in Jesus' name? You see, we've talked in the context of the history of this group of people. This group that started with only 30 back in 1936 and now is much, much larger in a different premises. And I've used that as the context, but this is a principle for life. This is a principle for each of us to ensure that Christ is the cornerstone in our lives as individuals. For Jesus, he so desires us to be in close relationship with him. He so desires for each of us to look at life in the context of him being our cornerstone. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus will stand with us closer than a brother, particularly under trial. You see, Jesus says he wants to provide us with help. In John 14, 15 onwards, it says, "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Can you see, church, that with Jesus at the cornerstone of our lives, we can be confident in his safety? We can have an unshakable platform to build upon, and we can be led by the Holy Spirit. So I ask you, having looked back at the history of our church, I ask you, is Jesus the cornerstone of your life today? Is Jesus the cornerstone in our families? Is Jesus the cornerstone in our relationships? Is Jesus the cornerstone as we go out into the world? You see, this morning I believe that we're to consider our foundations, not just as a group, but as individuals. See, I believe God wants to strengthen us, but we need to allow Jesus to just reset our foundations, realign us, if you like, just make some amendments to the structure where necessary. Can I ask the worship team to come, please? You see, church, if Jesus is not in his rightful place in each of our lives this morning, we need to acknowledge that. And we need to make a statement of our intent. You see, one thing I know about this group, one thing I know about Hillsiders is that they pray. They pray. And when we pray, God rejoices. You see, he's merciful to us. Even when we step out of his will, when we step into our own wisdom, not his, he is gracious to those that turn to him. So, you know, I think you're incredible. You know, I think we're family. God's family. I think it's divine design that we're together. But you know, we all step off into our own wisdom every now and then. We all got areas of our lives that maybe haven't quite handed that over to you, Jesus. You're not the cornerstone of that part. Maybe there's something in our structure that just needs to be realigned. Let it happen this morning. As I prayed at the start, I'm hoping the Holy Spirit is doing something incredible in the depth of our souls this morning. To just amend, to shape that structure. See, if we can't do it in his house, where can we do it? And you'll have heard this from me. I love this passage of scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14-16. It says, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer that is made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. That's the guarantee we have with our compassionate, gracious Lord. He will forgive us of our sins. He will restore our land. He will hear our prayers in this place. So you don't have to be scared. Church, will you pray a declaration with me today? I just ask you to stand with me, please, church. Because there's so much to give thanks for today. There's so much to be encouraged by today. But let's get right with Him where necessary. So let us pray together. Lord, we thank You that it is Your divine design that we should be in Your house this morning. We thank You for this community at Hillside and the 83 years it has stood in Forest Field with You as the cornerstone. Lord, we ask that as we look to You this morning, as we acknowledge You as the cornerstone of this community, Lord, that You would forgive us our sins this day. Forgive us, Lord, when we have not honored You. We come before You and we're not proud. We come before You in humility this morning. Lord, we ask that for each of us, You would be attentive to our prayers this day. That this house will continue to be set apart as a place where Jesus' name is lifted high. And that we as Your people would ensure that we stay close, so close to Your firm foundation. Lord, would You be at work in each of us? Lord, if You need to do work in our structures, Lord, You know those places, You know those areas of our lives that need realignment. Lord, we want to be a people that are just so aligned with You. Lord, that we may be sure-footed because we acknowledge You as our cornerstone. We ask that You would continue to guide us, lead us, show us how we may be bearers of Your light and doers of Your word. I thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are gracious to us. And that in You there is no condemnation. You are so good to us, Lord. You are full of grace. We thank You that You restore us and You equip us as we acknowledge You, our cornerstone, Lord Jesus. May our hope be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Lord, we put our holy trust in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, church, if that's your declaration today, if you need to get right with the Lord, hey, we're going to sing Cornerstone. You got no excuse. We all know what that word means now, yeah? Let's do what we need to do. And if you need to come before the altar, hey, you know what? This is not a like a group deal. This is just like you and Jesus. You and Jesus this morning. You got to get right with Jesus. Come out. Come out to the altar. Confess your sins. Be forgiven. Walk in His grace this morning. Be encouraged that He wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to transform you this morning. So if that's you, I just invite you now. You can come out if you so wish. All right, let's sing.